The Dallas Cowboys added a big-time playmaker to their offense on Sunday. What does that mean for them going forward? All that next.
You are Locked On Cowboys, your daily Dallas Cowboys podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Locked On Cowboys.
Welcome back to the Locked On Cowboys podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. We'd like to thank you for making us your first listen of the day. Today's episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM app. If you've ever dreamed of becoming an NFL GM and managing your own football franchise, well, this game is definitely for you. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. Our listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code LOCKEDON, all in caps, in the game. I am Marcus Mosher. You can follow me on Twitter at Marcus_Mosher. He is Landon McCool. Check him out on Twitter at McCoolBCB. Landon, the Dallas Cowboys traded for Brandon Cooks on Sunday. What are your initial thoughts?
Oh, man, so many, right? There's so many angles to cover here. The compensation, the surprise element of it.
What was it like waking up on Sunday morning and seeing that news?
Yeah, that's the craziest thing, right? Being a West Coaster is every once in a while in March and April, there are times when you wake up on a workday morning because your daughter has jumped onto your head directly onto your head while you were asleep, and you pull the phone out and Cowboys Twitter's going nuts. You try to scroll back up to figure out exactly what's going on. And you find out that the Dallas Cowboys have traded a fifth-round pick this year and a conditional sixth-round pick next year for Brandon Cooks. And I think my first initial thought was we should have been talking about this. You know, I think because in the sense that like this clearly just never kind of went away, you know, as part of the conversations that they had near the trade deadline last year, I think there's a lot of interesting. We got to talk about the trade itself and about the player, but I also think that there is an interesting conversation to be had about the fact that this was not being talked about at all in the Cowboys lexicon. Like we were discussing every single thing else except for that, I think that kind of shows you maybe a little bit of the way the Cowboys are operating now.
Yeah. So first up with the compensation. Yeah. It's nothing, right? Like the Cowboys tried to get this deal done at the deadline last year. Houston wanted a second round pick. Dallas was not going to give up a second round pick. Now the Cowboys ended up obviously not getting Cooks last year when they might have been able to use him, but they did wait it out, and the cost was significantly cheaper. Part of the trade that we need to mention is the Texans are taking on $6 million of Brandon Cooks' $18 million guaranteed in his contract. So basically. The Cowboys are paying Brandon Cooks 1 year, $12 million, with a team option of 1 year, I think it's $19 million or something next year. That alone is a monster win for Dallas.
Yeah, huge. I mean, the compensation for the trade package was obviously greatly reduced as to what Texans were offering just, you know, 5 or 6 months ago. But then on top of that, the fact that the Texans are taking on that $6 million to make that cap hit $12 million this year. I mean, this is a huge win. I mean, like let's talk about it in comparison to the other deals that were kind of floating around in the air, right? Like we got a guy who's younger and faster than Odell Beckham. We got a guy who's younger and faster than D-Hop. Like this situation is
not
pretty
as good
close
as DeAndre Hopkins. Just to be clear, not as good as Hopkins.
Not as good, as far as speed wise, and like ultimately, I think that's part of the problem. Well, not the problem, but some of the issue that we had with a lot of these deals is that, okay, you know, you can make an argument that you're signing Odell Beckham and that you're probably having, you know, equivalent speed. You're not getting slower. But part of the problem with this offense is that it needed to get faster. And with someone like DeAndre Hopkins, even though he's a great player and obviously would have been fantastic, the downside that we discussed is you are significantly getting slower.
Yep.
I think this is a situation where you get a guy who has been a high-end number two for a bunch of different teams. has got one of the most unique careers I've ever seen. I mean, it just tied Eric Dickerson for the most trades of a player in NFL history. And that's not because he's a bad player. There's a lot of crazy, weird circumstances specifically tied to the type of player he is.
And his contract.
It's the contract because I think this is all tied together in the sense that this is a player who teams cannot decide or not whether they want him to be their number one wide receiver, right? Like, it's just like, that's the issue, is that they pay him because he has this speed element that's so rare in the NFL. Mm-hmm. and he produces at a high level. I mean, he had some kind of ridiculous streak of 1,000 yards, I think 4, 5, or 6 seasons in a row, something like that, before he had a little bit of a weird patch the last few years. And I think that because of that, he's kind of this high end number two, you know, low end wide receiver one, and he's had this very weird career path. But for the Cowboys, you get a guy who fits every angle of what you're looking for perfectly. He brings the speed element. He is the kind of wide receiver two that you're looking for. He is the guy that fits in the compensation buckets quite nicely with the cash and the trade. So, kudos to the Cowboys, especially for keeping such a tight lid on this.
Yeah,
and then getting the deal done, and now suddenly you've traded 2 5th round picks, and your Super Bowl chances look markedly better a week later.
Yeah. Now, to be fair, we did talk about this early in the offseason. We were talking about the Cowboys adding a playmaker, and we even said it's still probably the most likely outcome because the Texans aren't going to keep him at that salary. We know that the Cowboys are interested, and he does fit what they need. We're going to talk about his fit on this offense in just a second, but we probably should have been talking more about, okay, when does this get done? Why does it get done? And the big thing for me isn't the compensation. It's that $6 million, because I truly don't think Dallas would have traded for Brandon Cooks
if
the price was cheaper. If the Texans didn't eat $6 million, because a 1 year $12 million deal is just so much more digestible than 1 year $18 million for this team.
Yeah, I totally 100% agree. I feel like that $6 million was a prerequisite, not a cherry. And I think that was a huge part of this. I think that, you know, to our credit, I guess what I was getting at was we should have been talking about this. I tend to think that a lot of this kind of D-Hop, Jerry Jeudy, Odell Beckham Jr. kind of conversation was kind of just put out there as not smokescreen, but like, you know, as just part of conversations. And I think the fact that they were I think the fact that they were playing the Brandon Cook stuff, was playing it so close to their chest, is an indication of just how things are different in Cowboys Nation. I'll even go so far as to say both Todd Archer and Jane Slater, who are about as plugged in reporters as you're going to get on the Cowboys beat, both of them strongly indicated at the beginning of the season, the beginning of the weekend, that nothing was going to happen this weekend. So I just feel like things are changing a little bit in Dallas, in the sense that, you know, the leaks seem to be kind of being plugged a little bit more than they had been previously.
All right, let's talk about his fit with Dak Prescott, with Mike McCarthy, with CeeDee Lamb next. This episode is brought to you by the Ultimate Football GM app. You've heard us talk about this mobile game before, and if you've ever thought you'd make a good GM, you've got to give this game a try. It's not as easy as you might think to create a dynasty. When you play Ultimate Football GM, you get to control and manage every strategic aspect of your team as you play through seasons and lead your team to glory, trying to build a historic dynasty. What I love about this game, because I've been playing it a bunch, is it's so stinking hard. Like, you play Madden, if you play the Madden franchise mode and stuff, you know, like, you can make some unrealistic trades and just build this superpower. It's not like that. Like, this is really going to test you, because you're going to be in charge of hiring the right coaches and coordinators, managing all the finances of your team, negotiating player salaries and the terms. Plus, you've got free agency, you've got the draft, you've got injuries. You're even going to have like player conflicts in the locker room that you have to deal with. All of this in a challenging but realistic game world. Ultimate Football GM is completely free and playable offline, so you can play on the go as you want to and when you want to. Locked On Cowboy listeners get a 100% free boost to their franchise when using the promo code Locked On, all in caps, in the game store. That is Locked On, all in caps. So make sure you check it out today. To download the game, just visit ultimate-gm.com or look it up in the app stores. That is ultimate-gm.com, Ultimate Football GM. Start your dynasty today. All right, Leda, let's talk about Brandon Cooks in the fit with this Cowboys offense. How do you think he fits in?
I mean, I think he's almost to a T what we've been describing they need, right? A deep threat, a guy that can force teams, second corner, first corner, however they want to play them, to play him very carefully. Defensive coordinators are going to have to account for his speed. I think if we're describing Brandon Cooks for people that are not kind of initiated necessarily, we've seen lots of these types of players come into the league, right? These kind of undersized speed guys who can just blow the tops off defenses mm-hmm. with their deep speed. I think where he differs are two very distinct areas. One, he's 29 years old and he has not dealt with a series of lower body injuries the way that you see almost all of these speed receivers deal with.
Yeah.
I think it has to do with the fact that they're all I just got that. I think that they're all, they're all sprinters. They all have like track backgrounds. And because of that, like the training required to kind of keep up in the NFL, it just, a lot of these guys, their bodies fall apart because it's tough to remain fast and durable, you know, in sort of a physical NFL way. And I think the other way that he separates himself from a lot of these other kind of speed wide receivers, the lack of injuries is also why he's had longevity. He's had injuries. He had some concussion stuff early in his career, but he hasn't had like the knee that turned into the ankle that turned into the hamstring, you know what I'm saying? The lower chain kind of, you know, and that's helped maintain his longevity. The other aspect about this that I think is underrated is that he has very good hands. For a guy, he has a very low drop rate, for a guy, especially for a guy that's smaller, who gets down the field. He's not necessarily a contested catch guy because he's under 5'11" and under 190 pounds. But I mean, he is not going to drop a ball that hits him in the hands. If he gets open and he catches in the basket, he's not going to drop it randomly. This is a guy who is going to be able to step on the toes of corners, make them, scared, fear for their lives. And I think the other thing key here is that despite being a smaller guy who's a speed receiver, he's very good with his hands in the sense that he knows how to hand fight. He knows how to get off press. And that's something that a lot of other speed receivers really struggle with when they get physical. He knows how to get away from that. And that's why he's been able to get open so much.
And unlike some of these other smaller speed receivers, you know, DeSean Jackson or whoever you want to name, he's a really good route runner. Like, honestly, I think as he's gotten older, he's gotten excellent in that part of the game. Like, I was watching him do some routes yesterday, and it's unbelievable how quickly he gets in and out of his breaks and how fast he can run like some speed outs and slants and dig routes, and like it's the same way every single time. So you're getting exactly the type of player we've been talking about for years, right? Somebody that has speed and can run routes and has reliable hands. It's almost too good to be true to get this type of player to pair with CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. And to me, that's the biggest thing here that we haven't even mentioned is I think Michael Gallup sometimes is a little bit overmatched as a wide receiver too, but we've seen throughout his career when he's that third guy and that kind of that third receiver option, he's awesome. And now Brandon Cooks allows you to do that. Plus he's got the versatility to play in the slot. So if you want CeeDee Lamb on the outside, you can do that. Or if you want to move CeeDee on the outside, Cooks has played more than, you know, 60% of the snaps on the outside. It's really a perfect fit.
Yeah. I mean, I think you can move orbit these two players around each other. One can play in the slot and flop them in the outside. I think it allows Gallup a more kind of narrow path, which I think he operates better in. Like if he can play that X receiver and kind of operate there, I think that will definitely, you know, be a little bit kind of cleaner for his recovery from coming back from that injury. I think the three of them really fit well together, especially with what you're looking to do.
Because they all do different stuff, right? Like Gallup is your contested catch down the field guy. Cooks can be the speed guy that does a little bit of everything. And CeeDee Lamb is your number one receiver that you know, your design mismatches for.
He's definitely still a guy that you can, like, I mean, we talked about a deep threat, but he's also a guy that you throw a quick tunnel screen out to, he makes two guys miss and he's gone. Sure. Like, you know, so he has that kind of speed still. So, yeah, I mean, honestly, it's about as good a fit as we could have hoped for. You know, like, as much as, like I said, as much as the names of Odell and D-Hop are fantastic players, and they are fantastic players, as far as, like, fit for what the Cowboys need in their offense, I don't know that you could have designed a better fit than Brandon Cooks.
I would also say it's there. He has a little bit of this Stephon Gilmore thing coming in, where he's been the number one receiver for his team basically the last, I'm looking at it now, forever. Like, he honestly, he hasn't been the number two receiver for a team in a long, long time.
The Rams, and, maybe? Like, I mean, I guess maybe, like, if you wanted to call Cooper Kupp at the time.
Yeah,
you know,
I mean,
because Cooper Kupp was still ascending still at that point.
Yeah, so,
you know?
that's probably the best one. And that was 2019. Yeah. And Brandon Cooks, that's probably the best
the
one.
Closest
right?
he's had, right? Yeah.
I just think now that he's kind of getting away from having to be the guy that, hey, we're going to stop Brandon Cooks. He's going to get our number one corner. We're going to game plan against him. Now you step into a role where, hey, you're going to be the number two guy and you're going to get beneficial coverage and all that kind of stuff. I just think at the age of 29, it's a perfect way for him to kind of transition into a new role.
Yeah, absolutely. It's a great fit for Brandon. It's a great fit for the Cowboys. And it's like you said, it's very similar to the Gilmore situation, where you're a guy who's had a very good career as a premier player at his position for multiple teams. And now he's stepping into a role where the onus is not only on him. In fact, the onus is on mostly another player in your room, and you're playing kind of a high end support role.
Sure.
Right. And I think that's where both of these guys have the opportunity to really like thrive at the end of their career.
All right, I want to ask you about what this means for the Cowboys the rest of the offseason, the wide receivers, and the draft next. This episode is brought to you by FanDuel. The tournament is heating up, and now is the perfect time to download FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook, because new customers get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That is bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app. It's safe, secure, and super easy to use. Then you can bet on anything and everything, from money line to point scores to three-pointers drained. Plus, FanDuel even lets you combine your bets for a chance at a bigger payout with a same-game parlay. So don't miss a chance to get your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets when you go to FanDuel.com/LockedOn. That is FanDuel.com/LockedOn to learn more. Make every moment more with FanDuel, the official sports betting partner of the NBA. All right, Landon, let's talk about the rest of the Cowboys wide receiver core. We've got the top three with Lamb, Cooks, and Gallup. 4 through 6 is up in the air. Does this make you at least feel better about Jalen Tolbert and Simi Fehoku and some of those other guys in the roster now?
Yeah, I mean, I think it kind of properly slots them into where their capabilities are, right? You're not over asking these guys to kind of, and to be fair to the Cowboys, we don't know that they would have necessarily done that either. I think that if they don't make this trade, then likely we're seeing them draft a wide receiver in the top three rounds, I imagine, right? So,
Well, that's my next question. Do you think a receiver in the top three rounds is still likely?
I don't know, but I think that it's something that they're not necessarily going to try to have to find a way to kind of, you know, put into their draft sequencing.
Right. So they're not hoping and praying that Jordan Addison or Jackson Smith and Jigba fall to them. Right.
I honestly think that they probably learned their lesson from last year. They didn't. I mean, even though they liked Tolbert and he fell to them, they probably didn't love having to wait that kind of treacherous end of the second round situation for their wide receiver to fall to them. So I think that for them, they, again, would love to draft free. They would love to just kind of set the situation up where they don't feel the need to draft any certain position up at the top so they can draft the best player. And I think this more than compensates for that. But I guess it's to the point now where the question is, if a wide receiver they did like fell to them at 26, if Jackson Smith and Jigba fell to them at 26 and he's the best player available, you know, do they still feel comfortable drafting a player like that now that the room is the situation?
26 is a little bit rich to me, but if it's 58 and you have a guy, Listen, I like Marvin Mims a lot, the Oklahoma receiver, and I know Dallas does a little bit, but maybe you draft him at 58 and the idea is, hey, he's going to compete for wide receiver 4. T.Y. Hilton is, I still think, most likely just to be a one-year rental at $12 million. You draft him, you get him ready for 2024, and that's kind of what we do with that number two receiver position moving forward.
You said T.Y. Hilton, but I'm pretty sure you meant Brandon Cooks, which is ironic because that's fits pretty well, right? Like almost essentially what they would have did with T.Y. last year, except at the beginning of the season, right? Just like a rental of that type of player. I don't disagree. I think that it, because of the way the room is laid out now, you've got two guys that are obviously your clear one and two. You've got a third guy that you've paid a lot of money. You've got a draft pick that's down the roster. It would be difficult to draft somebody at 26 unless it was a bright blinking red light. So I tend to think that the Cowboys probably will draft a wide receiver. I wouldn't be surprised if they didn't, but I kind of think that they will. I just don't think it will be, you know,
I don't think it'd be round one.
Yeah.
And again, it might just depend. Like, they could get to the third round and there's a guy that's available to them that they just never thought would be, and they take him, and it's whatever.
It could be because the draft's deep at the position, but they won't be forcing it. I will say that.
If you had to poke holes in any of this trade or Brandon Cook's fit with the offense, is there anything that gives you any type of concern here?
You know, I mean, look, anytime you're trading for a veteran player, there's always the chance that they fall off the cliff, you know, and that they've kind of run out of steam here. I don't necessarily worry about that as much with Cooks. I think obviously his last season had a ton of circumstance considering exactly what was going on in
Houston. Well, that he just didn't want to play after the trade deadline, which listen, yeah, I can't blame him.
Which, I mean, after the way things went down, I don't blame him. But I guess I don't necessarily see any like clear pitfalls here outside of, you know, hey, we get to training camp and Brandon Cooks doesn't seem to be running the same way that he has.
The only concern that I would have, Landon, is that we just haven't seen Dak be super successful throwing the ball down the field to some of these speed receivers. But what makes me feel pretty comfortable is Cooks is so much more than just a downfield vertical threat, right? He can win all game long underneath and in the middle of the field, and he doesn't even need to get, you know, any of these 30 air yard targets. So that's the only thing that has me a little bit concerned, but overall, I don't know how you can see this trade not be thrilled with it if you're a fan of the Dallas Cowboys.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something to add to the list. I would say that I think that for the most part, when Dax had quality players at that position, like that quality has been reflected in his deep throwing. When T.Y. Hilton is the guy he's been throwing down the field as opposed to, Lucky Whitehead or whatever the equivalent of, you know, speed receiver the Cowboys have had over the years. Like, I think that that's made a difference, in his ability to kind of hit those guys down the field. Right. Like, so I imagine that Brandon Cooks will probably be similar. And let's go here too. Brandon Cooks has produced at a high level, kind of despite what other terrible quarterbacks he's been playing with. And you know,
he's been fine. I've seen
Davis Mills throwing footballs to him. I like Tyrod Taylor, but I've seen him throwing footballs to him.
Washed up Jared Goff and the Rams, who had no confidence.
And Cooks was so open that, like, you know, even those guys were able to get it to him. So I think that's a valid concern, but I also think that Cooks is such a higher level of quality than the kind of player that he's used to.
Yeah.
As far as the shorter diminutive speed guys, I mean, obviously he's throwing the ball down the field to Amari Cooper and CeeDee Lamb and Michael Gallup. Yeah. Those are different types of players, but I think that Cooks is a different type of quality of those kind of speed receivers that he's had before.
Last one. Does this move rule out any chance that the Cowboys sign another veteran receiver this offseason?
I think so. But I would caveat it potentially with, you know, if one of these other top three wide receivers got traded, like Gallup, for some reason,
which is not happening.
If the veteran wide receiver is kind of more of a down roster, like let's say Cedric Wilson's numbers weren't as ridiculous as that. If you wanted to re-sign a guy who you think can play great special teams for you, can be a really good high-end veteran, you know, presence in the locker room, who can play special teams as well, that might be the case. But honestly, I have to think that they're going to kind of clear the runway a little bit for guys like Jalen Tolbert and Simi Fehoke to kind of earn that spot. So if we do see that, I would think it would be kind of closer to the regular season or at least middle of the training camp sort of situation.
I agree with you for the most part. I do think there's one receiver out there where if he said, hey, I want to play this year, the Cowboys would say, okay. And I think it's T.Y. Hilton. I still think Dallas would like to have T.Y. Hilton back. And if you could have T.Y. and Brandon Cooks doing a lot of your vertical stuff and adding speed and CeeDee Lamb and Gallup doing everything else, it's a pretty fun wide receiver core going into the year.
It may be, you know, he only wants to play half a season, so maybe you get halfway through the season and you give him a call.
It's fine. All right. That is it for today's show. Thank you guys for tuning in, and thank you for making Locked On Cowboys your first listen every day. Now make your second listen, the Locked On NFL Scouting show with the Draft Dudes. From free agency to the draft, salary cap management, more. Join NFL experts Kyle Krabs and Joe Marino as they take you through what it's like to build a successful NFL franchise every Monday through Friday. Find Locked On NFL Scouting with the Draft Dudes wherever you get your podcasts and on YouTube, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Make sure you check out the Locked On Cowboys podcast on YouTube. We've got free videos up there every single day. Go follow Lanen on Twitter, at McCoolBCB. I'm at Marcus_Mosier, and we'll see you guys next time.